Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
New boy in the neighborhood lives downstairs and it's understood. He's there just to take good care of me, like he's one of the family. Charles in charge of our days and our nights. Charles in charge of our wrongs and our rights. And I see I want Charles in charge of me. Charles in charge.
I didn't know this was a real thing.
Oh my God, it's Scott Baio, right? Wasn't Scott Baio the lead character in Charles in Charge?
Yeah, I know of this from Family Guy.
Yes.
Of course you do.
So I came in today and I was like, I say this with love in my voice. It was like stepping into a frat house.
Yeah,
I felt like
welcome.
I was back. Well, I didn't. There was no fraternities or sororities at Boston College, Jesuit College. But then I walked in and you guys were all hooting and hollering, watching the tournaments. And then I saw the chuck wagon in there and I was like, Charles is in charge today. So here we go.
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever seen, obviously you've never seen the show, right?
I didn't know it was a thing. I just thought you were saying Charles is in charge.
Scott Baio. Wasn't it the girl who ended up on Baywatch as well? I think I got to get
Nicole Eggert.
Yes. Wasn't she on Baywatch?
Yeah. I don't know if she was on Baywatch.
Charles in charge. Charles in charge.
Maybe I'm wrong. But Scott Baio.
Yeah, she was in it.
Scott Baio is now. How old would Scott Baio be?
Bob Loblaw of the Loblaw Law Group, I believe.
Scott is 63 years old.
Oh, my. Oh, my. So, yeah, it was a really good show back in the day.
All right. Was it channel? What channel
His
was it?
His first
on?
Episode was 1984. Final episode was November 10th of 1990. You could only be in charge for so long because the kids would grow up, if you know what I'm saying. You know
I
what
gotcha.
I mean? So he can't be in charge if the kids are no longer kids. They're adults.
So in 1990, he quits parenting.
He quits parenting like I did. I quit parenting with my final daughter, Emerson. And I quit parenting not because I'm a bad guy, but because she's more together and mature than
There's
I
no
am.
No more responsibilities.
So I figured if I continued to parent, it would only be a negative effect on her. I would bring her down.
Fair enough. I quit parenting. There you go.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta let the peacocks fly, right?
Yeah. You gotta let them fly.
Yeah.
I don't know the peacocks. I'm not sure, but yeah, you gotta let them fly.
You gotta let them fly.
You gotta let them leave the nest, so
to
speak.
There you go. Tyler Aki in for Sylvie today on Waddle and Sylvie. We've got a lot of basketball to talk about.
You are excited.
You're rubbing
aren't
it
you?
In on me right
I'm
now.
I'm not rubbing
you?
It
you're
in.
You're pointing at a TV where you know I've got a wager that is about to lose.
I was pointing at it because I was like, boy, that escalated quickly,
it
right?
It did.
Because
really
Marquette
did, yeah.
was actually trailing at the half, weren't they?
They were down, I believe, 7 or 6 at the half. And then, I mean, Western Kentucky was up double digits in this game once upon a time. And now they're in prime position to cover a 14.5-point spread. So we've got a lot of tournament to talk about today. Some football. Courtney Cronin's going to join us at 4. Yesterday, I thought, was the perfect round of 64 day.
I've heard a lot of people say that. I've heard a lot of people say that. I actually, like, you know, my college basketball for me starts when March Madness gets here. So I'm in.
You and many are like that. Yes.
Right. Like, or I could actually even, I could consent to tournament, conference tournament play. But when March Madness begins, then it gets, you know, oh my.
Oh boy.
Then it gets
bringing
fun.
The bench guys in.
Yeah, the bench guys are in.
Making sure everyone can say I played an attorney game.
I asked those guys, and I would continue the conversation, like, to see the joy in the three of your guys' eyes. I mean, is this the pinnacle of, like, a sports weekend? Is this the most fun that you guys have?
Yes. No doubt about
it. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the NCAA men's basketball
100%. Because it is single elimination. So that widens the variance of anything that can happen. And it's a lot like football in a way where the single elimination, sometimes you don't necessarily, quote unquote, crown the best team.
Right.
And I think there's an element of fun to that that you're getting with the NCAA tournament. And looking at you get 32 games spread across the first 2 days. Then you get another 16 the next 2 days. To me, I look at the way that the tournament is set up and the way that we kind of saw yesterday play out. Why I thought it was perfect was for a couple of reasons. A, I feel like the couple of years prior to this tournament, we've had too much chaos. Like, it's gotten to a point where all of these upsets were coming down, and we weren't getting to see.
Is there such thing as too much chaos in March Madness? Really?
Well, look at the TV ratings last year.
You were begging for Western Kentucky chaos today.
Yeah, and that's fine, but it's not like I want Western Kentucky to go all the way to the Final Four or Sweet 16 or anything like that.
You just don't like Shaka Smart.
No, I just don't think he's a very good coach.
Okay.
But I look at the way that yesterday set up. You had some teams that sort of hung around for a little bit, and ultimately the better teams pulled away. But you still had a blue blood go down. You had Kentucky go down in a 3-14 matchup, but you didn't have anything else that was super crazy. You had a couple 11 seeds win against 6 seeds. Some of those 11 seeds, in fact, were favored or very narrow spreads there.
NC State just beat
Texas Tech yesterday.
So now you have Oakland and NC State.
Yes.
So what is that? Is it a 14 and an 11?
Yes. So you're going to have that matchup, and you're going to get a couple of those over the course, but you didn't have this crazy day, but you just had entertaining basketball, it felt like, from the opening tip all the way through about midnight last night. And that, to me, is what makes a tournament great, is when you do have some chaos. You get some Oakland, you get a little Duquesne in there, and there's good stories attached to both
of those.
Gotta
get a little Duquesne in there.
Oh, you gotta have a little Duquesne. Get a little Duquesne in there. But you get both of those great stories in while you also advance some very good teams within your field. You still advance your Carolinas, your Creightons, your Tennessees, your Iowa States, your Arizona. You still are going to have a very healthy tournament when you do get to the second weekend, because I think one of the biggest complaints of last year's tournament was that you didn't have a healthy tournament when you got into the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and you just got a bunch of these teams who, quite frankly, I don't want to say weren't qualified, like you did the work, but it's like they weren't bringing eyeballs to the television.
Right.
When it's San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, UConn, and the fourth team from last year is escaping me, when that's your tournament field from a season ago, like that to me is kind of a downer tournament when you get to the Final Four. I'm always going to watch, but it's what will the casual fan
do? Right. Before I have a question for you, tip of the cap to Northwestern, who beat Florida Atlantic, right? Mm-hmm. Was it Florida Atlantic? They were a Final Four team last year.
Well, that entire region,
they won in overtime today, 77-65.
Had three Final Four teams from last year. It was UConn, it was FAU, and it was San Diego State, all in that region.
Same region. Mm-hmm. Tip of the cap to Chris Collins and his Wildcats. Good win for them. In terms of, as somebody that follows the college game as closely as anybody, football and basketball, how do you project NIL changing, if at all, the tournament? Because it's like Sylvie has always said, Southern lost their best player who went to Illinois and was Illinois' best player.
He's one of their best players. He had a triple-double in the tournament yesterday.
Right.
And that's the way you're going to... I think you're going to see a lot of new names within the 12 through 16 ranks. Like, we saw a lot of the same names year in, year out. But then you get a Duquesne who hasn't been in the tournament in 46 years. You get Oakland who hasn't been in the tournament since,
I
believe, 2011.
The reason I ask is because, as you know, you get a team from a smaller conference or a less known team, but it got a couple of really good players. And you find yourself in the tournament, and then the following year, they're in the portal and they're somewhere else because somebody is offering them more money that the mid-major school couldn't offer them.
Right.
Well, is this going to lessen the impact that some of the smaller schools have on the tournament over the course of time?
No, I still think you'll see a lot, because then you just spit out a new player. Like Ben Goldke, who was fantastic yesterday, he was a four-year D2 player. And you bring him in, develop him, and what do you see? He goes out and hits 10 threes yesterday and takes down Kentucky. So I just think that
But if you're at a smaller school,
there was a time when you would find good players and they would stay. They would be, you know, they'd stay for senior year or they would stay junior, senior year. And it just feels like the dynamic may change a little bit.
It will. It certainly will. But I think for those kids, it allows them not only to have their moment in the sun as a player, a March Madness hero, per se. Now you get to see them potentially live out an NBA dream as a result of it. Like, I think a perfect example of that is this guy on Tennessee, Dalton Knecht. He was at Northern Colorado last year. He was all right at Northern Colorado last year. He transfers to Tennessee. Now all of a sudden he was, I believe, he's probably going to end up being the runner-up for Player of the Year behind Zach Edey.
Wow.
And he'll probably get drafted as a result of that. And it's because there was an NIL opportunity at Tennessee. And you would have probably seen that anyway. But I just think that you're starting to see these guys now. You're always going to get that. The machine's just going to churn out a new player every single year. At the mid-major ranks, the high-major ranks, everywhere across the board. It's just for these coaches now, it's a headache for all of them. Right. And they're the ones that now have to adjust and adapt and find new ways to be creative
within
the portal.
Which probably easier for the college basketball coaches because you're dealing with smaller numbers. Mm-hmm. But like Nick Saban would tell you, and granted, like, he's not a spring chicken any longer. He's in his 70s, so there was probably, he was getting to his expiration date anyway with regard to being the head coach of Alabama. But he got tired of having to re-recruit his own players to make sure they stayed.
Yeah.
Probably not as exhausting for college coaches or college basketball coaches because you're dealing with a smaller number of players.
12 or so players.
But I could understand how a college football coach just got exhausted with the process.
Yeah.
And I have to believe, like, look, I am glad that these student-athletes are being compensated because if the coach is making millions and millions of dollars and the universities are making millions and millions of dollars, I'm fine with these kids also partaking in the revenue collection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There has to be some sort of guardrails that are going to be put in place sooner rather than later, because this is just, there are no rules at the moment.
Well, I think one of the interesting things too is going to be what happens for next year as well, because the portal opened up on Monday.
Right.
Guys can start moving around.
That's the reason why, like, St. John's and other schools, they didn't go to the NIT.
Right. To go out and get a head start on the offseason, because the offseason is way more important than a little tournament that gets played at Madison Square Garden that nobody watches or pays attention to or even cares about. So I think with the portal opening up on a Monday, the Monday of March Madness, so like Tennessee can't really recruit this week. North Carolina can't really recruit this week.
Kentucky
can start recruiting right now in the portal.
Because Kentucky did what Kentucky does in the month of March in recent years.
And now it's like St. John's. They can get a head start on the portal. Indiana, they can get a head start on the portal because they decided to sit out of the NIT. Yeah. Therefore, they can get into the tournament, and they have a leg up on this. So that's where I think you're going to start to see maybe a new mix of high major schools get into the tournament in years future too. Now, I do have to imagine the portal entry date is going to move. They're going to push it back
so that teams will, in fact, continue to participate in the NIT and others.
And just to level the playing field.
And by
as
the
well.
Way, and for those that, if you don't want to play and you want to opt out, do so. But then you have the rest of a basketball roster at St. John's that can participate if you want to play. It's like a bowl game for the football team. If you don't want to play, you want to opt out because you're afraid of injury and you're trying to get set for the NFL Combine or your pro day, fine. But the rest of the team still gets an opportunity to play in the bowl game. I would think with the smaller postseason basketball tournaments, something comparable would also, I mean, you're right, you'd have to move that portal back to encourage them to continue to play.
Well, now they're talking, too, about expanding the NCAA tournament to 72 or 76 teams. I think it's fine where it is right now at 68. They say they need to expand it to keep up with the way that finances are moving within college sports and sports
Who's
in general.
Who's getting left out? Okay, look at this year's teams. Who got left out that...
St. John, so just kind of spitballing off the top of my head, St. John, Seton Hall, and Indiana State.
Did any of those three teams have a chance to win at all?
Probably not.
So I'm not bothered by it. It's the same way, like, when everyone suggests, well, where do you stop at college football? I'm more...
And they're already... They went to the next venture already. They're going to 16 in a couple years.
Right, which is crazy. They were adamant about 4. Then they kicked and screamed about 12, right? And now they're already... They've decided
they're
on 16. They're
at 16 before we've seen a 12.
Right. And what I would say is I'm fine, more fine with 12 than 4, because the further out you get... You know, I'm more okay with the fact that you may leave out a team that you think was on the cusp of being deserving of a spot.
Yeah. No, it's...
Whereas the fifth team that's left out, the team 5, 6, or 7, I have a problem with them not being able to compete for a title. Teams 17, 18, and 19, I'm less adamant about it, now if you know what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. Now, we have seen, I believe, 3 teams from that first 4 go to a Final Four. And that is significant from a financial standpoint, too. Especially, so Shaka's team with VCU was one of them. And you get a much bigger piece of the financial pie when you do get to the Final Four. And for a small school like VCU is, that's
meaningful.
Important. That's very meaningful. The other two that I can think of off the top of my head that have done it are UCLA and Syracuse. They're not as dependent on getting to the Final Four for their financial well-being as maybe a VCU is. So,
this tournament has got everybody's attention.
Yes, I think.
And it's the highlight of, like, for guys your age, this is your favorite time of the year, right?
No doubt. No doubt.
Even more so than, like, the wild card weekend in the NFL.
Yes, and that's number 2. Or I would probably go conference championships 2 and then wild card weekend number 3. And it's because of the stakes of the game. That's why, like, the opening day of the MLB playoffs or NBA playoffs, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Because they're series.
Because, right, they're series. The stakes are, they're still high, but it's, you can lose the game and still be all right. Whereas it is do or die for all of these teams. And when you see these teams playing in such high stakes contests like this one is, that's when you start to think, all right, like, the magnitude of the moment brings out the drama in all of this. And you see the raw emotion on the players' faces and the coaches and the families and the stands. All of it put together is why you have such a fantastic product.
Have you guys got a tracker on Shea? Anybody know where Shea's at right now?
Shea's fending bullets on Twitter right now.
Shea's on the defense.
He's got the riot shield on Twitter right now.
Oh, is he?
I think.
Well, he brought that upon himself.
Did
he not?
He does bring it upon himself.
But I mean, I just wondered whether or not he was out at an establishment enjoying the opening round of the NCAA tournament.
I don't know where he is right now.
Or is this not a go out and watch it event for you guys? Do you save all of your energy for Saturday and Sunday?
No, I like to have one day, I think.
Yeah.
What day are you? Is tomorrow Charlie's out and
vomiting
everywhere? Because his dancing shoes on?
Yeah, we're getting our track shoes on tomorrow.
Okay, what is what is your itinerary?
Just drinking ice cold.
Okay, let's go through it. What time do you get up? Whenever you get up?
I'll probably get up around 8. I mean, I probably won't like get to a bar until like noon probably.
Wow.
11, noon.
Yeah. You're really good.
Then it's just Coors from there, you know? Yeah. The mountains are going to be blue.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great day.
You don't have to work tomorrow.
No.
What time's the first game tip?
Tomorrow, the first game tips at 11:45.
So you're going to be late for the first tip.
That's fine.
Yeah?
It's a long day.
Is it going to be hard to get a high top? You got to get some seating arrangements?
Well, it's also like Saturday in March. Now, the weather isn't great.
No,
it
sucks.
But Saturday in March when people are turning the corner of weather and stuff like that, yeah, like the bars are pretty full in the afternoon, I feel like, at this point.
So you and the Chair Dog getting together tomorrow?
I think we
are,
starting
it up early?
Yeah, we're revving the engines.
Taking young Jack with you?
Jack's welcome to join us. Yeah, everyone's welcome. All are welcome.
Yeah, and by the late afternoon, you'll be wiring money to a bookie, right? Covering all of your gambling debts.
Well, here's what happened last weekend.
I'll be on a plane out of the country.
Yeah. Last weekend, it was St. Patrick's Day weekend, and everyone's out drinking early. Like, people are getting to the bars at, like, 8, 9 a.m., and then everyone probably leaves around, like, 1 or 2. You go back to the apartment to recharge a little bit and then get ready for the night later. I don't think a lot of people made it to the night later because there was this dopamine hit at around 3 o'clock that was the Justin Fields trade, and everyone was like, WTF? and so kind of tried to ride through the down.
Time out. So that kept you, you know, you had to hunker down?
Oh, yeah. That was
shelter
like,
in place?
That was like.
Justin Fields has been traded, shelter in place.
I was with Tyler when it happened.
Was a tornado siren going on?
Pretty much, yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Why would that affect your desire to go out and have a good time?
Well, because
that you guys period, writing columns? Did you have to get on the blog?
I had some old tweets I had to find and retweet from people.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie, it's been a while doing that.
Charlie pulled out the bow and arrow. But that portion of the afternoon is reserved to like nap and recharge to go back out later. And nobody got that nap and recharge. You just got super like charged on energy
but
at that
I would
point.
Think that you were then you would have an ample amount of energy to continue the,
no but it's like an energy drink, like it only takes you so far.
That's always a losing battle though, the drinking in the morning and then going back home to rally for the night. That never happens. Once you go home and you sit on the couch and turn some basketball on, it's over. You're not going back.
Come
out
on
again.
Jack, not for someone your age, for someone my age, yeah.
Oh,
no
boy.
Question if I start drinking early, it's lights out at 7:30. Not for you guys. And I won't accept that from you guys.
If it's,
like, that's not how
if
I
we're just, like,
roll.
Drinking beer all day, like, I can go until the sun goes down, you know, but...
Are you drinking every one of them through your shirt like you like to do at different local establishments?
That's usually around, like, the 9th or the 10th or so, I would say.
What do you mean the 9th or the 10th? Oh, the 9th or 10th beer?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if it's, you know, like, because the problem with St. Patrick's Day, a lot of times... There's liquor involved. There's like Jameson. There's car bombs. So if that's what you're imbibing
why,
in.
Why are you changing your consumption routine just because it's St. Patrick's?
Well, because thing. Everyone has that one friend who's like shots time. Everybody take shots.
I am that friend. So
you are that friend.
Yeah, I've been that friend.
Oh boy, you've probably had some wild nights, Chardog.
Yeah.
Bartending all right, well, days. You know what? I'm glad that you got this. Is your time. This is your time, the three of you.
Yeah.
So make it work.
I'm not that friend as much anymore. I used to be, though, like in college and shortly thereafter college.
I will say this. This is a knife deviation from, and I get it, football will always still be there, and we're going to talk to Courtney at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little bit of football fatigue right now.
Do you?
I think so.
You want a no football show?
No. I'm
you want
good
sprinkling
with it.
Next,
no,
or you
I'm
want
good
a little
with it.
Later?
I'm just saying, like the fact that the tournament, the NCAA mm-hmm. men's basketball tournament and women's tournament, they're underway right now, which kind of takes your mind away from the Justin Fields was traded conversation, the Caleb Williams people, you
pro
know,
day.
Love him, hate him, yeah. The pro day. It's just kind of a nice little break from all of that. It's not a long break. Yeah. I'm not saying you can't have the football conversation, but when I look up on the screen, I see a Jay Wright.
Oh,
I see
good looking
Candace.
Man.
He is a very good looking man. And good, you know what? I give him a lot of credit for stepping away from, you know what? It was time.
He did it at the right time.
He decided that it
and
was
you know
the
what?
Right time.
He did it the right way, too.
Did
Didn't
he?
Need a retirement no. tour or anything like that.
Didn't he win? Did he win three?
He won two.
Two.
Yeah.
Candace Parker's on set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just nice. You turn the other guys, Ernie.
Seth Davis. Yeah.
But on the other
yeah,
group.
Yeah, Ernie and
you get
Charles and Kenny and Clark Kellogg.
I mean, it's just nice to look up there and no offense to the Get Up guys, because I like all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I just couldn't take it anymore.
But this is like the perfect football buffer period. Like
it
you
is.
Get the tournament.
Yes.
Tournament brings you to opening day.
Yes.
Opening day gets you to the Masters.
Yes.
And then the Masters drags
you
through
to
draft week.
Perfect.
Boom.
That's
your
my
football
point.
Buffer. You love
That's
this time.
That's my point.
Is this your favorite time of the sports calendar?
I don't know. I don't know.
No? Are you you're somewhere in the football calendar as yours?
Yeah, I mean I like the
Are
football season.
Are you conference
season.
Championship or wild card weekend?
I used to be conference championship guy.
Oh, you've pivoted?
I don't think so. No, I still think that
so
the
still
two
are.
Games that define who's going to the Super Bowl, those are my favorite. That's my favorite weekend. But like this is a nut. You're right. This takes your brain away from all of that. Now again, we have spent more time focused on Bears related issue because they have taken center stage because they had the first overall pick because of the Justin Fields situation, the trade and all of that.
And also because of the Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs and White Sox, the state of those teams too.
Yes, right. But it's been a nice, it's nice to focus my attention on something other than that. It's nice to go home and watch the college basketball tournament. And if I do look at my phone, there's not some sort of insult that's being thrown at somebody's way because of how you feel about a quarterback people are talking about the tournament. It's just a nice little break in the action.
And I think the one thing about the NCAA tournament that is inviting is that 95% of the people do not know anybody on the floor.
No, and I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
And for me,
yes,
it is.
For like the casual drop-in for March Madness college basketball fan, who knows, maybe you can probably name like 5 to 10 players. It's welcoming because everyone else is like that.
All I know,
you go to a bar and no one else knows the name.
I know nobody on UNC. I don't really know many of the players' names. I just know a red ass Danny Hurley is going to take Connecticut where they need to go, and watching him do his thing is entertaining to me.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us, you want a little football sprinkle now or later?
Now or later. It's up to you.
All right,
it's up to you and the Char Dog.
All right, well, Charlie's in charge, so why don't we get a little football sprinkle? He's got some ninth pick scenarios for us. We'll do all that when we come back here. Tyler Rocky in for Sylvie on Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Waddle and Sylvie, from our State Street studio to your hellish commute home. We're there with you, making it bearable. Never mind. Back to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Look at Jack. Look at Jack in here.
Jack, do you even know who this is? Do I know who this is?
Yeah.
Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah, I know. Sugar Hill Gang.
Come on.
Isn't this song like 8 minutes long or something like that?
It's very long,
or like 15 minutes long?
Yes.
I had the first verse memorized for a while.
Did you?
I don't think I do anymore.
We're going to have you drop a few lines for us there. It's Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000. Tyler Rocky in for Sylvie today. Let's quickly go on out to Chris. He's in Tampa before we get to some of the Char Dog scenarios. What's up, Chris?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Do we know if the Bears are going to be having Jaden Daniels come into Chicago to interview, or are they going out to see him? Because he also won a Heisman. He also, last year, took care of the ball a lot more than Caleb Williams. He didn't turn it over in fumbles. He didn't turn it over in interceptions. He's an accomplished quarterback as much as Caleb Williams is, but he's not getting the hype. And, oh, if you can draft Jaden Daniels, oh, and neighbors, that's a pretty good mix.
Well, I would say this, Chris, a couple of things. I don't know whether or not the Bears are having him in for one of the 30 visits, or my assumption is they would go to, they're going to go to his pro day.
Yeah.
I believe there's an enormous contingent. The same crew that was out in Los Angeles are now in Ann Arbor today for J.J. McCarthy's pro. And thanks for the call, Chris. J.J. McCarthy's pro day. Look, I think they'll look at everyone. This is how I feel about that situation, though. I was talking with Albert Breer at the Combine, and I think you were with it was me, you, and Albert sitting there waiting for the show to start on one of the days. And Albert was talking about, look, back when in the year when RG3 and Andrew Luck were coming out, there was this, you know, there was a hint that, well, maybe RG3 has passed Andrew Luck, and some teams may be more, you know, interested in taking him versus Andrew. And he said that was all nonsense. Nobody in the National Football League had RG3 graded above Andrew Luck. And I kind of feel the same way. I've heard Lewis Riddick say it. I've heard Dan Orlovsky say it, and then go back to Caleb Williams, I think. I don't believe that there is. I would say it's, unless something weird happens, I don't believe Jaden Daniels is going to leapfrog Caleb Williams in the eyes of the Chicago Bears. And Chris also was talking about how he hasn't gotten that much. Listen, Chris. It was Chris in Tampa, right? Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels has jumped all the way up to number two in some guy's mock draft.
Right.
So, like, I mean, to think that Jaden Daniels isn't getting the hype.
He's the betting favorite right now to go, too.
Yeah, right. So, like, I just think that it sounds like Chris wasn't a huge fan of Caleb Williams.
I just look at it.
Which is fine. Like, I mean,
like, listen, you can have your own thoughts on who you think the Bears should take. Personally, for me, it's Caleb Williams. And a big reason why is, he's been an elite level quarterback for 3 years now. Jaden Daniels has done it for one. And Jaden Daniels has been a starter in college football for 5 seasons. Caleb Williams was 3 for 3 in that regard. Jaden Daniels was 1 for 5. If I'm an NFL GM, I'm taking the guy who's got the track record of being elite for 3 out of 3 years, not the guy who's 1 for 5.
Yeah, and look, I don't know. It's an inexact science. I don't know who's going to ultimately develop into the best player, but I don't believe that they have any questions about who to take at 1 up at Hallis Hall.
I'm with you there. Kyle's in Rolling Meadows. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, gentlemen, can you hear me okay?
Sure, yep, we got you.
Just got a question and changing up a little bit. I see every mock draft has the Bears trading down from 9 to get some additional assets. If you two were the GM, who are the 1 or 2 players you guys would not trade down for if they were there at 9, not counting Harrison Jr., who everyone expects to be gone higher?
For me, Kyle, thanks for the call. Kyle. It would be Roma Dunze. It would be Malik Nabers. It would be Joe Alt. And at that point, I think I call it, I don't, I mean, maybe Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, one of the rush ends, but I would be more inclined if the offensive tackle or the receiver was there to stay there and draft either one of those guys. I would chop the pick. If Joe Alt and the three receivers are gone, mm-hmm. I would chop the pick and see what I could get. Because at that point, what do you have? What do you have, four? Four draft picks? You only have three left after you draft one. Mm-hmm. Then you have 9, and then you have 2 other, right? Now, I get it as well. I mean, this was something that I really hadn't considered until you brought it to my attention several weeks ago. NIL and the way that the college game has kind of evolved in the last couple of years has changed the draft in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think what were you telling me, like...
It's the lowest number of underclassmen ever for an NFL draft.
So there's a lot of guys that are 24, 25, 26-year-old, 6-year players.
Maybe are only getting drafted this year because you require that there be 200 and however many picks in a draft.
And the motivation for staying in colleges is guys that are projected to go 3rd, 4th, 5th, whatever round can make more money in NIL money, right?
Ohio State has multiple guys who were projected to be late first round or early second round, and they're all going back. Like, Ohio State has a number. They're probably
Trayvon Henderson's in like his 4th or 5th year. He's a guy who would always go after his 3rd year.
Right, and now you're seeing all those guys go back.
Is it because of NIL money?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They have
to want to win a championship.
Yes, but I'd imagine you look at some of, like, there's an edge rusher, there's a receiver out of Ohio State. Both of those guys had, in a lot of mock drafts, first round grades per mock drafts. Those are guys that are now going back. We've never, if you had a first round grade before, you were going.
Oh, you were gone.
It was never
a question. You weren't getting paid exactly. The way the guys are getting paid now.
Exactly. And that's part of why you would go. A, because it's football, it's a violent sport, your career can end on any given snap. Right. And B, on top of that, if you're going to get paid now, if you're not getting paid, then you definitely want to go and go get yourself some money too.
I would ask, like, again, I wide receiver, offensive tackle, the three receivers, Joe Alt, and if those guys are all gone, I wouldn't rule out drafting a rush end, but I would at that point I'd be more willing to listen to offers.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect segue. Charlie's got some scenarios for us. If we are the GM, we're going to put our GM caps here. We're going to become Ryan Poles, and Charlie's going to run through some scenarios of what could be on the board and what we would do if we were Ryan Poles had the board shook out that way. What do you got, Charlie?
All right, so the first one, this is more just asking what your preferred flavor of this is, because in this scenario, J.J. McCarthy's already gone, so you're probably not going to be able to trade down.
So what does it look like? Okay, so Bears go 1.
So, yeah, they
Let's just say either Drake Mayer or Jaden Daniels goes 2, and then the other guy goes 3 to
yep.
New England.
Harrison goes 4.
By the way, I thought I saw today on Get Up that the number 4 pick is for sale.
Yeah, I saw
I believe that Arizona is shopping number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But this is your game, you're making the rules.
Yes. So, in this scenario, basically, what you have to pick from, you can't trade the pick to Minnesota or Denver because McCarthy's off the board. So essentially, you're tasked with picking Nabers, Adunze, Joe Alt, Dallas Turner. All those guys are still available. Is there any specific preference that you have?
Nabers, Joe Alt, and Adunze are all available?
And Dallas Turner.
And Dallas Turner. I mean, if you're giving me the choice out of those four guys, I'm going with Rome Odunze there. Like, he's my favorite of those guys. And I think that the uncertainty of how long Keenan Allen's... Like, if Keenan Allen's a one-year project here in Chicago, you want a guy who can step in.
I'd be shocked if he wasn't signed to some form of an extension so that at the minimum it was a two-year deal.
But even still, he's a guy who... Yeah. He's not long for the Chicago Bears in all likelihood.
I agree.
Even if you do extend him, it may only be for an extra year. You guarantee him enough money for one more year after this season, and then you've got the ability to maybe cut him after that.
I think, like, Cap is saying that he hears that they're more interested in Malik Nabers than they would be Odunze. I think I would still go with one of the receivers more so than Joe Walt. And I am a fan of them doing more on their offensive line. Yeah. But I'm with you. Like, the thought that you could have DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, or Malik Nabers along with Keenan Allen for a couple of years and Gerald Everett and Cole Kmet has me excited about that situation.
I also, there's two
and
other...
By the way, like, you look at what... I love great offensive tackles, but teams have gone to...
Look at the Bengals.
Right.
They had the choice of Penei Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase. It's worked out pretty well for them.
Right. And you're right, but I don't think the Detroit Lions feel like they got cheated
they
because, they, you know, Penei Sewell has been fabulous for them.
Totally agree.
That's kind of like a win-win for me.
It is, but you got to think, too, like the way that the Lions built up, they were accumulating linemen for years to get to where they are right now to build out that offensive line. That's terrific right now. Maybe, though, it's one of the best in the NFC, no doubt, but that was an accumulation of years, whereas... And again, you got to eventually pick the guys, too. But two of the reasons why I've always been in favor of going out and getting the receiver, and this was more so prior to the Keenan Allen deal than it is now, but the drop-off between your second receiver at the time, which was Tyler Scott, to whatever you would be bringing in was way more significant than I think the upgrade you would get going from Joe Alt to Braxton Jones.
Yes, I agree with that.
Braxton Jones is a starter in the NFL.
Right.
Tyler Scott is not right now.
Correct. I think that's a very good way to break it down.
And you listen, you have a draft next year, too. You're going to have a first-round pick next year.
You're still
going to
have money.
Yeah. You can spend some of those
next year as well.
Right. You can spend some of these resources for next year's draft as well. So I look at it that way. And the other thing, too, is there a better receiver room that you would want to bring a rookie or a young receiver into than one with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore in the entire NFL? Like, you're talking about high character guys and great teachers of the game. Like, very, very technical and fundamentally sound. I feel like that is the best landing spot for a rookie receiver to go and learn how to be an NFL receiver.
I think you can find comparable talented duos, but when you factor in, like, the veteran leadership and the... You know, the whole package.
Teach guys how to be a pro.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think you make a great point, too, about, listen, the difference between Braxton Jones and Joe Alt is it's probably fairly significant, but it's less significant than the difference between Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze and Tyler Scott.
Right.
And I think that's a really good point. I've always said I'd take the receiver. I've kind of waffled a little bit about... You know, maybe being interested in taking the offensive tackle, but I would stay with the wide receiver. And like you said, continue to look at upgrading the offensive line. You can't do it all in one year, but look what the receiving core for a very good young quarterback has done for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
So that's the route I would lean for sure.
All right. When we come back, we'll get some more of those scenarios from the Char Dog as well. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
You're in the middle of the Waddle and Sylvie Show, ESPN Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back. Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
We've got some more potential draft scenarios with the 9th overall pick. It's Waddle and Sylvie. Tyler Aki in for Sylvie today. What do you have, Charlie?
All right, so this one we kind of talked about during the break. But let's say Marvin Harrison, there's been a lot of talk that a lot of teams have Malik Nabers ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr.
I heard that from...
You know, but that feels like
Daniel Jeremiah, and who else? Was there one?
There was another. We've seen a couple other mock drafts, too, with it, I believe. But that, to me, seems like the same thing we were talking about with Jaden Daniels, where Marvin Harrison has just been this top dog the entire time.
Right.
And now, and he hasn't participated in any sort of pro
out of
day.
Sight, out of mind.
Like, he hasn't done the Olympics, right?
I doubt that anybody is going to draft Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right.
If you're honing in on a wide receiver, you're taking Marvin Harrison Jr. if he's available.
I'm right there.
All right.
You.
Well, then let's say that Arizona traded the fourth pick to the Giants and they wanted to go get J.J. McCarthy. Either way, Marvin Harrison Jr. is available at 5. Chargers give you a call. They say we're good. We want to stockpile draft picks. Maybe we want an offensive lineman. They're offering the fifth pick to swap this year and next year's Carolina pick.
So who's available at that point? Because I've already got my quarterback.
You have your pick of the litter of receivers. You basically quarterbacks have gone one through four. You basically can pick any non-quarterback.
Joe Walt is going to be drafted before 9 as well, right? So that would be 5 guys. Marvin Harrison Jr. would be 6 guys. So you really have to worry about.
And then you figure.
I'm not giving up any draft currency to move up. I'm not. I could use that second round pick next year to draft an offensive tackle.
You see, but to me, that trade is effectively you're trading a second round pick for Marvin Harrison Jr. A future second round pick, albeit one that you would project is going to be pretty high. To me, you're trading a future second for Marvin Harrison
Jr. I'm not doing that.
You wouldn't do that?
I'm not doing that. No.
I would. Because I think that the cost of trying to go up and get him is not as high. You're not giving up a future first. You're giving up a supplementary second round pick that you have in the cupboard for next year.
First of all, do you really believe someone is going to give you...
I don't think this is a viable offer.
Right. You're going to have to come with more than just swapping 9 in next year's second round pick to move from 9 to 5. Is that what you're trying to do? Or 9 to 4?
Yes, 9 to 5.
Okay.
Because it's the Chargers, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
I don't think that offer is ever going to be on the table, but if it would be, I would be all right with it.
Yeah, not because me. I'm not giving up that second round pick from next year.
And listen,
we have found out that wide receivers can be found all over the place.
And that's fair. And there's supposedly a lot of them in this year's draft. So,
all right, how about this one? Joe Alt and Malik Nabers are both there at 9. Denver and Minnesota are calling you for the rights to draft J.J. McCarthy. So you have a franchise, you have a division rival potentially trying to move up to get their franchise quarterback. Minnesota is offering you their picks this year, so 11 and 22, while Denver is offering you 12 and next year's first. Again, Malik Nabers and Joe Alt are there. You're probably not getting Joe Alt because the Jets need a left tackle if you trade back. So do you stick where you are, or do you try to get more assets, and if so, whose package do you prefer?
Excuse me?
Let's talk packages.
Whose package do I prefer?
Yeah. What's Sean Payton's package?
Who's got the best package here?
Who's got the best package?
Sean Payton is offering you 12 next year's first and a fifth next year
A fifth. And then what was the Vikings?
Both their first round picks this year. Because remember, they just traded with Houston over the weekend. Mm-hmm.
Or I can use the pick on whoever I want, right?
Correct. Can use the pick on whoever you want. I would probably take the Vikings package there. Because then you have 3 first-round picks, and the first one's coming when? 13?
The Vikings pick is at 11.
Is at 11?
Yeah.
So it's ahead of...
Ahead of Denver's.
Ahead of... it's ahead of Denver's.
Now, so the thing you have to consider is you are giving a division rival the opportunity to draft potentially their franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm. But you're also depleting them of some other assets along the way. I would probably take the Vikings package there because you might be also able to fill the void you have at center as well and find your center for the future. Or you just kind of, or you can spin that extra first round pick into some more picks. Like, I think you can cover a lot of holes if you do take that.
Or I can draft Malik Nabers.
Or you can draft Malik Nabers.
That's what I would do.
That's what you would do?
Yes, I'm drafting Malik Nabers.
I would take the Vikings package there.
And then just find somebody else at 11.
Find someone else. You can find an edge rusher there. You can maybe even find a receiver there, too, because you know that at 9, it's going to be a quarterback that's being taken. At 11, in all likelihood, is or at 10, I should say, in all likelihood, is going to be a tackle.
Listen, at that point, what you've done is you've turned the number 9 pick into the hall.
You have turned
you've
the number
turned
9
pick,
pick
into the hall.
Does that get a bell?
Yeah. Standing the first,
how about a little hall?
Standing the first pick
hall
of the draft. Now you're sending the number 9 pick for the hall. I would still probably take Malik Nabers at that point.
And that's fair. Listen, you
we can ask Courtney. You
get
see what game. She would say.
Yes, we'll
so
do that.
So you would do what? You're giving up 9 for 11 and 24.
Yes.
I think I'm still taking Malik Nabers.
All right. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us as well, you want to weigh in on any of those scenarios that the Char Dog has presented, we'll talk with Courtney Cronin when we come back here on Waddle and Sylvie.
To Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.